Just a quick word about Great Commission Sunday that I meant to say a little earlier. I forgot. Every Sunday, I believe, is Great Commission Sunday. And while we take a special offering today and really over the next few weeks, and if you weren't ready, we've been announcing this the last couple weeks, but if you weren't ready for your special gift or your special check or whatever, the next few weeks we'll be collecting, and you can read more about it in the brochure, and you can mark your checks and special gifts. But friends, as a church, as a family, we are a part of the Great Commission, and we've been given the commission by Jesus Christ, and that's to go make disciples. It's to go into all the world and make disciples, and that means Northern Africa, and that means Ypsilanti and Dexter and Ann Arbor. That means Thailand. It means all over the world. And I just want to remind you, as I do say rather frequently, we're all called to be missionaries, not just the people that have some credentials and they get on an airplane and fly. And in fact, in this community, we have such a unique opportunity because the whole world is right here in our own backyard. You can literally reach the world without a passport. You can't do that in a lot of communities. But in the Ann Arbor area, there are so many people from all nations that are represented right here. And so we take special offerings to give it away, but we also see ourselves as a mission here. And every one of you is called to be a missionary. Every one of you is called to reach the people in your life that you have access to, whether it's someone on the other side of the planet through Facebook or your next door neighbor or someone in the apartment complex down the street. We're all called, when we leave this place, to go and make disciples. Every single one of us. And in a few weeks, we're going to have a special opportunity because we're going to be hosting a group, a local group, actually, that's launching a brand new church. It's a Vietnamese church. And there are a number of Vietnamese people in our community, and many of them have been looking for a church, and many of them really don't even know that they need Jesus. And so there's a brand new church that's going to be starting, and you've heard me talk about it, but I think it's appropriate, Great Commission Sunday, that right here in our community, in this place, in a few weeks, there's information in your bulletins, but we're going to be hosting a special launch of this church that's going to be starting in Ann Arbor for Vietnamese people and really anybody. And so it's exciting that we are here sent on a mission to reach our community and to reach the world. Well, I don't know if any of you have ever found yourselves, kids, go. Ever had one of those mornings where I think I had too much sun yesterday or something? Have you ever found yourself looking for more? Just finding that there needs to be more in your life than there really is. Of course, some of you maybe there's too much in your life. But have you ever felt like something was missing? And I don't mean just that $5 bill that you thought was lying around, but something really deep in the core of your being that something was missing. As a follower of Jesus, there's often this sense that, well, I've got Jesus, so everything should be set, and I should live in perfect peace, and I have my fire insurance card, and I'm good to go. And yet, friends, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I stop and pause, and I feel like, you know what, there's something missing, or maybe there's someone that's missing. Shortly after John Wimber became a Christian, John Wimber was famous for being one of the leaders in the Vineyard movement around the world. He became a voracious Bible reader. And the scriptures, they really excited him. And finally, after weeks of reading about the life transformation power of God, miracles, and attending boring church services, John asked one of the church leaders, "When do we get to do the stuff?" "What stuff?" asked the leader. "You know, the stuff here in the Bible," said John. "You know, like the stuff Jesus did, raising people from the dead, healing the blind and the paralyzed. You know, the stuff." "Well, we don't do that anymore," the man said. "You don't?" He said, "No." "Well, what do you do?" And the guy said, well, what we did this morning. In frustration, John responded, for that I gave up drugs? Like so many of us, John was taught by example that the contemporary Christian life was radically different and disconnected from the power of the Scriptures. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I read the Scriptures, I'm like, have you ever read the Scriptures and thought, man, I wish I was there. I wish I could have been there when Elijah was on the mountain. I wish I could have been there when the blind were receiving their sight. I would have loved to have been there that Easter morning when Jesus was absent from the tomb. Any of you like that? Sometimes I read the Bible and I feel like my life is so stinking boring. I want to do that stuff. And kind of like John Wimber, I'm like, I want to do more. I want more. I want to do the stuff. When's the last time anyone raised someone from the dead? Did you know it happens? I mean, in present reality, people are being raised from the dead. How many of you want to see people healed? There's people being healed all over. Like the power of God is alive and well. And yet it seems to be so absent in many of our lives. This leads me to a simple question. If you could have lunch with Jesus today, would you accept that invitation? Any of you interested? I mean, if Jesus walked in the door, hey, Jesus, come on in. We'd like to do lunch. We're going to have a potluck just for you. Any of you stick around today? Now here's the thing, friends. I want to share with you what I think is one of the most provocative passages in all the Bible. And it says this. Jesus speaking now, he says to his followers, it's good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Now look what Jesus is saying. He's saying, it is good for you that I'm going away. If you were hanging out with Jesus for 3 years, and he said, it's good that I'm leaving, how many of you would embrace that reality? Yeah, it's good, Jesus. Get out of here. We've had enough of you. Now, he's saying this right before he dies. And so part of his message is, it's good for you that I leave, so I go to the cross and I die. But that really wasn't the end of the story. Without his death, burial, and resurrection, he would not merely be a good teacher. He wouldn't be able to forgive and atone for our sins and reconcile us to God. But it's interesting, the word advocate is used in the newer translation of the NIV that came out this year. It used to be counselor, and revised scholarship has changed the word to advocate. And I think there's something kind of exciting about that word, and our message research team had kind of pointed this out too, that an advocate is a little more active, it's a little more dynamic. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus, it says, it's good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. He has to leave in order for something else to take place. And notice, too, that Jesus' return to heaven, as he's predicting in this spot, his return to heaven, it's proof that righteousness is possible. It validated all that Jesus proclaimed. His acceptance into heaven proved that sin had been defeated. And that one day we also will be accepted, not because of our righteousness, but because of His. Now today is known on the church calendar as Ascension Sunday, to commemorate the day that Jesus left our planet to prepare a place for us. And He said, it's good that I go away. Now, I've thought so many times how devastating it must have been for the followers of Jesus to see Jesus die. Even though he told them a time and time again, he said, I'm gonna die, they're gonna crucify me in 3 days, all this stuff's gonna happen. I mean, he dropped all sorts of hints and they were clueless. Totally clueless. And to watch him suffer and die on the cross, and then they started to remember, oh yeah, he said this was gonna happen. But no one was expecting his resurrection, even though he told them that he was gonna come back. So here they go through this incredible process of grief, and so many of us have, probably all of us have had grief at one time or another, a tremendous loss. they go through this loss and they watch him suffer and die, and then all of a sudden he's back and they're all excited. And then he says, "Oh, I'm leaving again." Wait, 40 days ago you were just coming back to us. And he's saying, "It's good that I leave. It's good that I leave." The disciples experienced so much grief and sadness the first time, and undoubtedly the second time as well. Just for the record, my thought at that statement would be, "Jesus, you're crazy. We need you here. We want to keep you. Come back." Yet Jesus said it's good that he leaves to allow the counselor or the advocate to come. So the question is, who is this advocate? Who is the counselor? And it's the Holy Spirit. And several months ago, for those of you that were here, Jeff Brown, who I was delighted to see this morning, welcome Jeff. Jeff, in my installation service, talked about the Holy Spirit and said that the Holy Spirit is so vital and so important in our lives. And I don't want to rehash what he said. You can listen to the podcast. It's fantastic. But we're going to spend the next 4 weeks just talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. Today is just a little precursor for what is to come. But I see so many people that claim to be followers of Jesus and want to live this exciting, dynamic, Bible-filled life. And yet, it doesn't happen. There's a disconnect. There's something missing. And friends, I believe what's missing is the Holy Spirit. Now, what words or thoughts come to your mind when you hear about the Holy Spirit? Maybe some of you didn't even know what we're talking about today, and you're like, "Whoa, the Holy Spirit." And then these phrases or thoughts or images flash through your mind. What sorts of things came to mind? What's that? Action? Power? Conscience? Okay. What was that? Conviction? A quiet voice? Guidance? Nagging? Okay. The presence that keeps... Okay. To be accountable. Was there another? Truth. Okay. Gosh, no one said like speaking in tongues or charismatic or being crazy stuff. We'll get to that. But before we do, let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather together. I thank you for the power of your word. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you inspired writers for centuries to put together your truth and your word that we may read it and we may know you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your power that is able to invade our hearts to bring about conviction and repentance, that's able to illuminate the scriptures, that's able to give us power and victory and hope and peace and joy. There's so much to be said about you, Holy Spirit, and so much to be said about you, awesome God. And so as the song said earlier, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, fall afresh on me. And I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would please you, my Lord and my God, in these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? We're going to just kind of tackle that one today. And next week we're going to talk about what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit. And then we're going to talk about the different gifts of the Spirit. And then the fourth week we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And I know for some of you, you're like, "I know that, been there, done that, sang the song, you know, got the bumper sticker, whatever." But I hope that we're going to be able to see some things and be reminded of some things. And maybe some of you, this is all going to be brand new and fresh information. And it's my hope and my prayer that you would have a dynamic relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And that together we would be equipped and empowered to really make an impact on our world. That we would really fulfill the Great Commission in our lifetime. That some of us would go and some of us would stay, but we would see the work and the power of God alive in our lives like never before. And that we would really live
and experience lives, biblical lives, like the stuff we read in the Bible. The Old Testament is Act 1 of this great, great play. The New Testament is Act 2, and we're living right now in Act 3. It has all the same story, all the same truth woven through it. And friends, I believe that now God is doing and ready to do things like we've seen in the New Testament and like we've seen in the Old Testament. Because our God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and well today. Let's try that one again. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and well today. Do you believe that? Do we need some caffeine in here? The Holy Spirit, first of all, is a person. One of three persons in the Trinity. And that includes, obviously, the Father and Jesus. And because of that, we can say that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not a ghost. Okay? Sometimes, some early translations of the Bible says the Holy Ghost. And that's kind of a weird, freaky term to think about, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. He's a person. He's not just a force. Not like a Star Wars thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been around a while. Like forever. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. See, the thing about the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament, the Spirit would appear at different times and different places upon different people. We would see the Spirit of God show up at creation, and we'd see the Spirit of God hanging out with Abraham, and we'd see the Spirit of God anoint David, and we'd see the Spirit of God just in very unique positions and places. But what was so exciting about Jesus when he left is he said, look, I am one person, I can be in one place at one time in the human form and body, but when I leave, I'm going to send my Spirit, and my Spirit's going to blanket all of you, and you're going to all have access simultaneously, so that you don't have to travel to Jerusalem or to Judea or to Detroit or Ann Arbor to be where I'm at, but I'm going to distribute my power through the Holy Spirit so that believers all over the planet are going to have 24/7 access to the same power that I have. Now, I don't know that I can fully explain this. Well, no, I can't fully explain this. But Jesus was fully God and he was fully human. Now, it's just one of those mysteries. How he could be fully God and fully human. And for centuries, people have debated and argued about how this works and what this really means. And some really lean toward, well, he was really human, but not very much God. And some, he was really God, but not very much human. But it's very, very clear, and we don't have time to unpack all the theological details of this, but he was fully God and fully human. And the fully human part, we know he was born of a virgin and he was human and he cried. Despite what that Away in a Manger song says, no cry he makes. And he was sick, and he was uncomfortable, and he got hot when it was really hot, and he got cold on cold days, and he was tempted, and he understands. Every time I hear that song, One of Us by Joan Osborne, What If God Was One of Us, I just want to yell and say, Jesus was one of us, and God was one of us, and he knows, and he understands. That's what the incarnation is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. Like, he knows. He knows everything that we've gone through. Not because he's God, but because he's man. The epitome of what it means to be a human being. And as such, he laid aside some of, like, the God stuff to enter a human body and have human weakness. And so the stuff that he did, the stuff that John Wimber wanted to do, all the miracles and all that, it wasn't Jesus did it, well, sure, because he's God, so he has the power to do it. It was the power of the Holy Spirit working through his human flesh that allowed him to do that. And you go, but Jesus was God. Yeah, he was God, and we're not God. But the power of the Holy Spirit, and over again, when you see Jesus doing miracles and performing all the cool stuff, it says he's filled with the Spirit. He's empowered by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is upon him. Even when he pulls out the scroll and in the temple, and he says, the Spirit of God is upon me. to preach, and he quotes Isaiah, and over and over and over again, Jesus refers to the Spirit of God living within him to do the stuff. Well, friends, that Spirit of God is alive and able to do all the stuff in you and in me. Wow. Let me say that again. The power that enabled Jesus to do all the stuff is available and accessible to you and to me. And that's a pretty awesome thing. That's something that I want more of. And yet, honestly, it's something we forget. It's something we kind of set aside. And again, we'll talk more about that next week. The unleashing of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 after Jesus left changed everything. And the Spirit became available to all believers 24/7. And if you think about it, although we can't see or hear and touch the Spirit like we can Jesus, the 24/7 aspect is really remarkable. I mean, in some ways, it's really better that Jesus left and gave us the Holy Spirit. Because let's face it, if Jesus were alive on the earth today, I don't know where he'd be hanging out. Maybe London. And we can't all go to London. I mean, just that whole marriage thing a few weeks ago, it seemed like the whole world was there trying to just get a glimpse. But the fact that the power of God is then unleashed in all of our lives is such an incredible gift. And that's what God said. He said it's a gift from the Father. Listen to this account from the day that Christ went up to heaven. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit is coming. I'm going to leave. It's good that I leave, and the Spirit's going to come. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Because they were still on this trip about, you know, you're our king, and you're our savior, and you're going to overthrow Rome, and we're going to live triumphantly. And he's like, not today. In fact, he said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. Listen up, Harold Camping. But you will receive power when this Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's what the Great Commission is all about. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, and I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. When Jesus said, I'm with you always, he didn't just mean that figuratively. He meant, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to be with you, that the power of God is going to be with you as you go and you make disciples. And after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. He departed on the Mount of Olives, a place in Jerusalem where he's going to return someday and rule and reign. And oh, what a day that will be. Jesus left to allow the Holy Spirit to come. Luke 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, how would you like to have Jesus tell you that you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who, what does it say? Ask him. Remember that thought. We're going to go there next week. But it's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The Greek word is called parakletos, and it means one who encourages, who comforts, intercessor, helper, comforter, counselor, and as we saw in the newer translation, the NIV, an advocate. This word in the New Testament exclusively refers to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus, which makes sense, because in John 14, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, another advocate. So you have me, but you will get another one just like me, because we are the same. We are God, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus said the Father would send another comforter, an advocate like Jesus. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, way more than we have time to cover this morning, but just a few things really quick. John 16 and Acts tell us he indwells to guide, teaches, empowers the believers. He convinces the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And these are some of the things that we talked about earlier. He helps us to pray. Ever get to that spot where you're like, I don't even know what to pray. I don't even know how to pray for the situation. The Holy Spirit helps us and guides us. I'm so grateful for that. He enables us to understand God's Word. So, so powerful. And so many other things. Regeneration, assurance, justification, adoption, sanctification, repentance, faith, good works, perseverance. I told you this would be a long sermon if we got into it all today. But basically, friends, the Holy Spirit is the power of God, alive and accessible to you and to me. Are you filled with the Spirit? It's my prayer that you will encounter the Holy Spirit in a way that truly transforms your life, that transforms our church, that transforms our city, that transforms our region and nation and world. And I hear reports about God doing things, about the Holy Spirit doing things around the world, the God stuff, the New Testament stuff. And I pray that it comes here. I pray that we see dramatic transformation, that we see spiritual awakening. I think that it's starting to happen. Just to see 540 churches coming together in the name of Jesus Christ to work together and serve together and love to love our community together. It's a miracle. It's truly a miracle, the stuff that's happening right now. God only knows how close we are to the end times, but we know that things are starting to take place in good ways and in bad ways that are setting the stage for the future. And for the Holy Spirit to just be unleashed, there's no greater prayer that I have than that we would be filled with the Spirit. There's no greater prayer that Jeff has that we be filled with the Spirit. And so I urge you over these next few weeks especially just to be in prayer and seek the Lord, seek the Spirit and the presence of God. Pray for me as I figure out how to best describe something that's so amazing and indescribable. And just be ever aware that the power of God is available to you and to me. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. That's my prayer, Lord. I pray that we would be filled with the Spirit, that our lives would look so different than the lives of those in our world, that they would be so attractive, so revolutionary, that people would just ask, how in the world can we be so filled with love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control? How in the world can we be filled with so much hope and faith when the world is so desperate? I pray, Lord, that not only will we as individuals be so filled with the Spirit, but together as a family, we will continue to serve and love one another and synergize and work together to build your kingdom, Jesus Christ. And now as we just stop and pause and remember you, Jesus, as we've spoken about the Spirit, we think about your life and your death and your resurrection and how that Holy Spirit's power that raised you from the dead is alive in this world today. We stop and we pause and we give you thanks, Jesus, for you are the one that suffered and died. You are the one that left the comforts of heaven. You are the one that willingly surrendered your life, brutally beaten, and yet conquered sin and death on the cross and rose again. And so we don't celebrate a dead God, a God on a cross, but we serve a living God who's alive and real today. And we give you praise and thanks for that. We remember your body that was broken for us and your blood that was shed, and we say thank you. With gratitude in our hearts, we worship and adore you, Jesus. In the power of the Holy Spirit, as we pray to the Father. Amen.